So I want to talk about, it's just something that's been in my mind for a long time and something I just observed actually since maybe my second year as a Christian. I've never really preached specifically on it, though I've touched on it a few times. I think most of Christianity doesn't understand this concept. And I think it's very important that this gets out and for us to understand this. If you've been at Open Door for a long time, you know kind of the way what we do and our direction and this stuff. And so it'll be a little bit familiar to you. Some of it will be, but because it's where we start. But just something I want us to get down. I want to talk about studying theology versus learning Jesus. Studying theology versus learning Jesus. Matthew 11. And Jesus speaking in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let's pray and we'll talk about this. Father, without you I can do nothing. We thank you that we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Thank you that the Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. And thank you that understanding cometh by the Spirit. And Lord, you said that we can't understand the Scriptures without your Spirit. As it's prayed in Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, that's our prayer tonight, that you would show us your word and we would see it clearly, that the word as we will read would be rightly divided and that we'd understand it. I pray I'd have your thoughts and your mind and I would just be on a direct line exactly with what you're thinking. And I would say what you once said and you would anoint this message with great power to change us, to change Christianity, to change the perspective of seeing things not the way you see them, but the way man sees them. And show us your thoughts and give us your help on this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's several things that are promises here. God says, first of all, I thank you, Lord, that you just revealed these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Over and over and over, Jesus celebrates that simple people and children and babes get the truth. And where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the prudent of this world? God hath made their wisdom foolish. God says, you need to become like a child. You need to be simple. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, I'm worried that you'll remove for the simplicity that's in Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. And so we see, first of all, God has revealed these things. Man didn't grasp them because of the great intellect. God revealed them. Okay? And that's the first thing we see. And that's what God wanted to do. It seemed good in his sight. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You get to know God by God revealing himself to you. The Son reveals the Father reveals the Son, and no man can know either one of them except God reveal them. Man's study, man's knowledge, man's learning does not give them the ability to know God and see God. There are many, many smart people. There are many people who've studied a whole bunch about God who do not know God. He tells us how to get to know him. First of all, he says, if you're tired, then come to me and yoke up with me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, there's what God says. Jesus said, you want to learn of me? There is a yoke. Two animals get into it. My yoke, get into my yoke and work with me, and you will learn of me. To learn of Jesus, to get to know him, to learn who he is and learn about him and get to know him, you yoke up. Yoking is close quarters. You're pulling the same load. You're going the same direction. You're doing the same thing. And learn of me. He says, I want to teach you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It seems like if you took on God's yoke and God's work, and God, so many times I've seen people backslide because they said, I just need a break from God's work. I'm just worn out. And Jesus says, yoke with me and you find rest. I find people are more exhausted who are living for the world and living for trying to make themselves happy and trying to catch up on everything and trying to, I find those people are more, their souls are more stormy than those who are just laboring with God. That's what God says. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not that his, it's not that a heavy load behind you, but we got Jesus pulling with you. Everything gets pretty light. And so you see that with God. One of our great desires in life should be to know God. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 10, he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to know Christ. Not that I want to know about Christ. There is a world of difference. Knowing Christ and knowing about Christ are two completely different things. There are people who are religious, who go to a Christian church, who go all the time, and have learned and learned and learned and been going for decade after decade after decade, and they do not know God and may not even be saved. They do not know Christ. They know about Christ. They can quote to you doctrines they've learned and things they've been taught, but they don't know Christ personally. Paul says that I may know him. That I may know him. John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Hey, eternal life is knowing God. That's what we're going to do forever. And we got to get to know God. It ought to be our great desire. And so many times when people decide, I want to know God. I want to learn the Christian stuff. I want to learn about God. I want to understand the Christian and Christianity and God, and I want to learn all that stuff. Many times what they think they need to do is begin to study theology. And many of them will go to a Bible college and to study theology. They'll go to seminary. They'll go to some other place and they'll say, I need to study theology. And they'll go online and look up theological things, and they'll go to the Christian bookstore and they'll get books about God. But that's not how God says you get to know him. That's what man... See, when man wants to know about whatever subject, he wants to know about canaries, he goes and gets a book. And he studies about canaries and how to shoot them and how to eat them and everything like that. And he studies canaries and he does all that stuff. And that's how he learns about canaries. And they think that God is the same as learning how to... wrap your something so it won't break in a box, or how to study canaries, or what kind of snakes are poisonous. It's an intellectual study where you go and look up things and you study on the subject, you read what people wrote about it, and then become an expert. That might work for many things, but that's not what Jesus said how people got to know God. But man, because many, many believers said that's the way. You go to a college and you get your degree and you get another degree and you study more and you study more. And you know what? This guy has an earned PhD, or maybe a couple of them. He's a theologian. He must know God. No. He might know about the things of religion and Christianity. Does not mean that he knows God. God is revealed by his Spirit by someone becoming a child. God is revealed through his word. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Okay, you ready? I'm going to read you all the verses in the Bible about a couple things here. People want to do this, and they feel that they need to study theology. Here are the theologians in the Bible who did great things. Are you ready? I'm going to list them off. Okay, next subject. Here are the commands in the Bible to become a theologian. I'm going to give you all the commands. I'm going to read every verse in the Bible, you becoming a theologian. Okay, I'm done. Okay? Here is the gift of a theologian in the Bible. I'm going to show you the passage here. We know in Ephesians 4 we have the gifts, and we have 1 Corinthians 12 that lists the gifts, but let me show you the passage on the gift of a theologian in the Bible. Okay, we're done. Next subject. There's no theologians in the Bible. It's not a gift. The person in the Bible who teaches the Bible, who feeds the flock of God, who is it's called a pastor teacher. That's the person who's given the ability to teach the Bible above everybody else, because they're the teacher, they feed the flock to the under-shepherd, and there's lots of 1 Peter 5 and Acts 20 and many other passages teach that. That's the person, if you want to label a theologian, he's a pastor. But don't call me a theologian. Okay? I'm a pastor. Theologian's not a Bible term. It's a man term. You do not find those things. Just got a couple points, and then I'm just going to shotgun everything all over the place. Number one, you get to know God by working with him. We just read that, okay? I don't need to read the verse again, Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. We used to have a world-renowned seminary 20 minutes from our church in Oregon. And boy, we got saved, and we've told you many times about how we got on fire and filled with the Spirit, and oh, the Holy Spirit was moving, and we were winning souls and influencing lives and impacting people and doing, I mean, by the time we were 2 years into serving God, I was preaching twice a week at 17. Influencing people. People are still serving God today that I reached then. Okay, God was using us, and it was exciting. And then some students, and by the way, this is a seminary. It wasn't going to Bible college to get a degree. It was to go to get a PhD, to get advanced degrees. It was the advanced seminary. And these guys, and boy, one of them came. And the pastor thought, man, he's already got his bachelor's. Maybe they already had their master's, and this guy's studying theology. And he would say, you know what? Let me put this to these teenagers. They want to learn about God, and they're studying like crazy. Boy, we found out. Those guys didn't know anything about the Bible. They didn't know anything about God. Boy, I remember one, he became our Sunday school teacher, and we were I was memorizing two verses every single day of the Bible. Okay? Reading the Bible every day, spend a lot of time studying the Word of God, and he gets up there. And he says, we know the best format is debate and to ask questions, and so I want to ask you some theological questions. And boy, he came up with some deep questions about God. Theological things that were very, very profound. And that we would say, ooh, what's soteriology? But you know what we kind of said to each other afterward? I'm trying to figure out how to get my brother saved. I don't know. What is that stuff all about? Man, I wish you'd teach more about how to quit losing my temper and cussing. We had a whole bunch of teenagers who were coming right out of the world and coming there. We had no idea what the guy was talking about. You know what we found out? Those guys, we had about four of them come to our church. All of them got promoted to different types of leadership. We found out all of them did not know the Bible well at all. We knew, after a year and a half, more Bible than they knew. Now, we didn't know what eschatology, soteriology, and all the ologies were. We didn't know any of that stuff. But if you had a problem drinking, we knew what the Bible said. And not that we were great. They were just theology students. And they knew how to debate the subject of Tulip and Calvinism. And boy, they sounded great. But they didn't know God. I remember them getting up and saying the dumbest things. Unbiblical things. I remember one of them got up one time, and boy, this guy, I think he already had his PhD and he's still studying because he's going to know God. I remember him getting up there and saying, I just want you all of you teenagers to understand this. He says, life is never satisfying, and if you serve God and you think life's going to be good and you think you're going to have a happy marriage, you think you'll be satisfied sexually or emotionally or any way in life, he says, life is just... Even serving God is just, it's not that great. Okay, first of all, he needed to read where Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Okay, now, the theology class didn't teach you that. That my joy may be in you and that my joy might be full. And now I've been serving God a whole bunch of years since then. Can I tell you? He was wrong! I could have told him that he was wrong then because the Bible said he was wrong. Life's not miserable. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Boy, the Christian home is awesome. He might testify what his family's like, but you know what? He's boring. No wonder his wife isn't. You know, serving God is not. And these guys, by the way, several of them caused problems in the church. They didn't know God. We would take them out soul winning, And praise God, a couple of them went out with us. Most of them wouldn't go. They would reach the world in their ivory tower studying about God. We'd take them out soul winning and they'd go, do you know about God? And they didn't know what to say. We'd have to step in. They didn't know how to work for God. And by the way, pretty soon, the ones who were halfway decent started asking us teenagers questions. My wife's agreeing back there because she was there. We were teenagers there. Why? Because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know God. They didn't know how to labor for God. They didn't learn of God. They just knew a bunch of big fancy terms. You get to know God by working with Him. You have knowledge in your head about a bunch of boring subjects that stuffy, intellectual, ivory tower people have no real worldly knowledge about how to reach people and change lives and impact people, and they're not normal, and they cannot go out and reach an average Joe out there, and they think that they are going to be knowing God. And by the way, they don't even know God's name. They always say God. There's no W in God. You're trying to sound smarter than everybody else. G-O-D, God. Okay? And I try to sound so smart. And they try to use these phrases that make you think, ooh, big word. He must know what I don't know. A simple person like me says, salvation, get saved, born again. They say, soteriology. Everybody says, ooh, he must be smart. No, why doesn't he use a Bible word? Not smarter than God. You get to know God by working with Him. Why is that? Because the Bible says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then at the end of the Great Commission, He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Why? Because when you do God's work, God goes with you and you get to know Him. Amen? God is not an intellectual exercise. He's a person who loves the world, who wants to reach people, who wants to make a difference, who loves people, who wants people impacted for God. Take in, take in, take in, take in. Study, 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 study. Bring in, bring in. Listen, the Dead Sea, nothing can live in it. You know why? Because all it does is take in. It doesn't give out anything. You try taking in and taking in and taking in and taking in food and never burning those calories. And see if how long you stay healthy. God has things for us to do. And you get to know God by doing things. And you go into God's harvest and work with Him. And you get to know God. You get to know Him. Number one, you get to know God by working with Him. Number two, in studying, God has given every believer two tools. Okay, He's not given any other tools. He's given these tools for us in studying. I'm not against studying. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2, our memory verse for this week. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, it's 2 Timothy 2. I said 1st, it's 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, we are supposed to study and understand theology. Keep reading, pal. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study. What are you supposed to study? Well, I'm studying theology. That doesn't say what you study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that did not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are you supposed to study? The Bible. You know how many Christians read Christian books and don't read the Bible? Read the Bible. That's what God has for you to study. You don't need a bunch of books. You don't need a bunch of, I'm not against books. And I'm not against that. But you know what? Get to the books when you've read plenty of Bible. Get the Word of God. It's all we need. Look at 2 Timothy and chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is the Word of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So there's all the things you need to be a good Christian. That, why? Why did God make it profitable for all those things? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's a very, 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 very important verse. God gave his word in completeness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, have it all. Thoroughly furnished. If your house is thoroughly furnished, do you need more furniture? Unto all good works. Do you know if a Christian comes from another church and comes to open door, and we're glad to have them, and they've been to, they're very, very churchy. I mean, they're very churchy people. They're not students of the Bible. Did you know if they have a question about something, they expect me to give them a book? And I'll say, well, let me show you what the Bible says here, and let me just give you a bunch of Bible answers. And they'll say, oh, that's nice. Do you have any books about the subject? Yeah, it's called the Bible. It'll teach you how to get along with your family. It'll teach you how to pray. It'll teach you how to have victory. It'll teach you how to get rid of drugs. It'll teach you how to deal with bad friends. It'll teach you how to deal with temper problems. It'll teach. It's thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I hold in my hand, folks, the key to all knowledge about God. I do not need a bunch of theology. I need the Bible. I need the Bible. First thing he gave us is Scripture. Everybody wants a book or a video or a website. Start with the Bible. Read the Bible. You'll be surprised. If you meditate there in day and night, whatsoever thou doest shall prosper. Joshua 1, Psalms 1. The Bible will transform you. The Bible will give you what you need. The Bible will make you wise in every good work. The Bible will answer your questions. The Bible will fix your life if you just will study the Word of God and listen to good preaching in the Word of God. The Bible is the answer that we need. God did not say, oh no, look what they're doing in 2014. I forgot to put that in there. Oh. No, God saw all of time and said, I know exactly what man needs forever. And I'm going to write it in the book, and they can be thoroughly furnished into all good works. You might not know yet where the Bible says it, but it does. You're thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The first thing you need to study is the Bible, Scripture, the Word of God. That's what you need. Number two, the tool he gave us to study, and I believe in studying. I believe in the milk and the meat. I get all that. I believe that. The second thing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Everybody relies on commentaries. They rely on a whole bunch of things. The Holy Spirit. That's John 14, 26. Says, but the Comforter, which the Father will send in my name, or the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2. I've quoted this a little bit in a few messages lately, but let's just read it and see how clearly God says, you cannot understand spiritual things without the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words that man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the intellectual ability of man and an unsaved man and a man without the Spirit of God speaking, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We get the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're filled with the Spirit, as the Bible says. Be not drunk with wine. We're in his excess. Be filled with the Spirit. You ask, Luke 11, 13, Lord, I ask for you to send your Spirit to speak to my heart and help me understand the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit becomes the teacher of the Word of God. Amen. You can rightly divide it. You can understand it. He'll speak to you personally. You'll be shocked. You say, Lord, I need something. I don't even know where it is in the Bible. God, I just got to have your wisdom. Oh, Father, Lord, I just guide me of what to do and guide me of what to see. And Lord, speak to me. And you'll be surprised how all of a sudden he'll This word of God will glow and transform you and give you what you need and comfort you and speak to your heart. And oh, how wonderful it is when you have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But the Holy Spirit is upon people for a reason. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is upon people for a reason. Jesus quoting out of Isaiah 61, Luke 4, 18, but the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Awesome. Why? Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of God. Why did Jesus, and it says this way about Jesus, the Lord giveth the Spirit not by measure unto him. Why did Jesus have the Holy Spirit unto him? Because he was going to go do God's work. Deliverance and helping and preaching and doing the work of God. Listen, there is no reason the average person who just thinks they need to study and study and study needs the Spirit of God. They're not going to go out and preach the Word of God to every creature. They're not taking the gospel to the world. They're not going to go and lift up the fallen and disciple people and help the widow and take the person who's fatherless and comfort the brokenhearted and heal the hurt and do all the things of God and do the work of God. They're not going to do that. So God says, you don't need my Spirit. You don't need truth. You do not need the bread because you're not going to go feed anybody. You just want to know. And I'm not into you knowing. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You'll think you're smarter than everybody else because you can say the big words because you studied and studied and studied. Meanwhile, the world around you went to hell and didn't get saved and lives were broken and people committed suicide because you weren't out there in the harvest. My Spirit would have gone with you, but you sat around and studied and studied and studied and studied and thought knowledge was the end. Knowledge is to take and to hand to somebody. Give me some truth, God, so I can give somebody some truth. Give me some truth so I can set somebody free. Give me some truth so I can make a difference. Give me power so I can preach the gospel. You are a vessel. You're a pipe. You are a channel through which God flows. Knowledge is not to study theology so you can get to know God. You go work in the harvest with God and you get to know him. And he gives you his Spirit. That's why the great theologians and the great teachers of the past who are nothing like the people who write nowadays, the ones who write nowadays, those books of theology nowadays are fantastic for starting a fire in your fireplace. But the people of the past, the people we call great theologians, they did not their term. The great theologians, you find out that Schofield was doing something for God. He was a pastor. He was winning souls. He started the Central American Mission Board, and he was winning souls and doing God's work. You read Ironside, pastor of Moody Church, thriving church, winning souls, doing God's work. And John R. Rice, an evangelist and preaching the Word of God all over America and winning souls and helping people and encouraging pastors. And Spurgeon pastored 5,000 people before he's 21 years old and had a thriving church. Why would those people have such incredible Bible knowledge and teach us so much? Why? The Spirit of God was upon them because they were doing God's work. And so since they had the Spirit of God dripping off them, they read the Bible and said, wow, that's what it says. They weren't sitting in an ivory tower studying, 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 studying. Let me write a book so I can sell my book and so I can study more. Let me get another PhD after my name. Let me go, and they want to be intellectuals and seem smart and go and be smarter than everybody and look like they know everything. Everybody say, ooh, you use such big words. But those theologians today aren't laborers in the harvest. They do not know God, and they come with a lot of kooky stuff. Because they don't have the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is upon you to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal those that are captives, to make a difference. God says, I need my Spirit upon you because you're going. You're in the harvest, and we're working together. So you're going to have the great knowledge. All those great laborers for God. D.L. Moody had 7 years of formal education. Let me repeat that. D.L. Moody had 7 years of formal education. None of it, Bible college. And he grabbed Europe and he grabbed America and shook them both and brought revival to both. He was not very, and he wasn't just studying, and he studied after he became a Christian. He worked hard to learn. But you know what? He was a laborer when he first got saved, started bringing kids to Sunday school. And God said, you're doing something. Let me give you power. You're doing more. Let me give you power. Why? He was laboring together with God. D.L. Moody said, I look at this world as a wrecked vessel. God gave me a lifeboat and said unto me, Moody, save all you can. That's what Moody said. That's his quote. That's the way he saw things. The pride of man usually tries to use worldly method, degrees, man's thought, to think they can figure God out. If you go and you get around a seminary and you get around advanced Bible college students, you find them talking about theological debates and debating over these subjects over and over. They debate the Calvinism and the tulip theory, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the preservation of the saints, T-U-L-I-P. And they go talk about that and they debate it. Are you a 3-point Calvinist? I'm a 4.2-point Calvinist. I'm in a 5-point Calvinist. And meanwhile, standing all around them are a bunch of unsaved people who are saying, somebody please tell me how to get to heaven. Somebody else going by and crying at the neighbor's house of the seminary, who are they're sitting there fighting and hitting each other and wishing, God, would you please show me what to do here? And they can sit there and debate with each other all day. It doesn't do anything for the cause of Christ. They're all Christians. And I'm for earnestly contending for the faith. But you know what? I earnestly contend with the Jehovah's Witness when he says you get to heaven by good works or you can't get to heaven. Or whatever somebody says, false doctrine. I'm trying to win them to Christ. I don't have time to debate with theologians. Whether I'm a 3.2 or a 4.5. And by the way, God does not phrase it in man's ways. There's no tulip theory in the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just walk up, instead of debating that, just go tell some sinner how to get saved. You've got to realize that God does not fit into man's theological discussions. They waste so much time, and people waste so much time trying to do theological discussions when they should be learning how to quit drinking, or how to be nice to their wife, or how to help the kid down the street, or how to go disciple the person who's messed up, or how to go get the person there and how to teach them how they can be set free from their drugs. But instead, they want to read a book that's going to teach them, and many Christians want to study theology. Question after question after question, they ask, and could God make a rock so big he can't move it? And did Adam have a belly button? What a waste of time. They've got this big debate now about atonement and which theory of atonement is right. I just printed this up. The ransom to Satan atonement. This view says atonement of Christ is a ransom paid to Satan to purchase man's freedom and release him from the enslavement of Satan. Or the capitulation theory. The theory states that the atonement of Christ has reversed the course of mankind from disobedience to obedience. So I can tell you that one ain't right. It believes Christ's life recapitulated all things in human life, and doing so reversed the course of disobedience initiated by Adam. There's a dramatic theory. This theory sees that the atonement of Christ is securing the victory of a divine conflict between good and evil, winning man's release from the bondage of Satan. The mystical theory, this is all of atonement. The mystical theory sees the atonement of Christ as triumph over his own sinful nature through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is the moral influence theory. This is the belief that the atonement of Christ is a demonstration of God's love, which causes the heart of man to soften and repent. The example theory. This is the view that the atonement of Christ is simply provide an example of faith and disobedience to inspire man to obedience to God. The commercial theory. The commercial theory views the atonement of Christ is bringing infinite honor to God, resulting in God giving Christ a reward which he did not need, as Christ passed that reward onto man. The governmental theory. This theory sees that the atonement of Christ is demonstrating God's high regard for his law and his attitude towards sin. And it is thought that Christ's death towards God is a ransom to forgive sins and hereby to repent. The penal substitution theory. This theory sees the atonement of Christ as being vicarious substitutionary sacrifice and that satisfy the demands of God's justice upon sin. How about this? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now go tell someone about it. It's not that complicated. There's a bunch of sinners. They're going to hell. And Jesus died for them and he rose again. And go tell somebody about that. Don't debate the 16,000 different meanings that aren't in the Bible. Waste of time. We debate these things and they debate these things and they talk about them. What does God say about the intellectual man and their questions? I want you to understand this. God in his word is not about questions. He's about answers. God is all about answers in the Bible. Let's look at what God says about asking questions and asking questions and asking questions. Look at, and these are mostly in Timothy. So let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, let's start in, let's look at what God says about asking, about questions and questions and questions. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's start there. Why does it say this to Timothy? Because he's saying, Timothy, don't waste your time on this junk. Go impact lives and get in the field and labor with Jesus. You'll get to know all you need to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away of diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the souls, but study to show yourself as a worker. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He's telling this young preacher, don't waste your time on all these stupid debates. Get out there and get in the harvest. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. Remember I was talking about that we wish I could teach us how to have victory over this or how to reach somebody? They minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is of faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. He says, you know, just disputings and debates over all these different things. Titus, again, a pastoral epistle. Titus, next book in the Bible, chapter 3. And verse 9. Telling the other preacher, Paul is, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain, useless. I am not a Calvinist where I do not believe in the sense where that man has no choice. I believe that whosoever wills. I do also believe God's sovereign. Both of them are in the Bible. They're both very clear in the Bible. They're all in the Bible. Both of them are. But if God's a little more sovereign, I'm still commanded to go win souls. If God is not that sovereign and God, and man has a whole choice in the thing, I'm still commanded to go win souls. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not going to waste my time arguing whether I believe in unconditional election. If unconditional election were true, I would still be commanded to go win souls. It is not worth debating about questions that aren't even a Bible question. It's a man question to show how smart you are and to get interesting topics. There's no time to stand around and talk about interesting topics when the world is lost and there's starving people and broken lives and broken hearts and orphans and widows. Get out there in the harvest and learn about God. Get out there in the harvest and learn about God. The doctrine of the good doctrine has action, change, and help for people. We just read that, didn't we? Let's look in 1 Timothy again, and we'll go back to there. Read a little bit lengthier of a passage here. Verse 4, neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, yakking, saying nothing but moving their mouths, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither where what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for lawless and disobedient, for a godly man and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God. Any other thing contrary to sound doctrine? You mean whoremongers and sexual immorality is doctrine? Yep. It's teaching of the Bible. Do you know if the average person, average Christian, if the average messed up, unsaved person walk up and says, listen, I am lusting after a woman who's not my wife, and I had a fight with my wife and hit her yesterday, and I don't know what to do. They'd say, pray about it. Because they do not know what the Bible says for them to do. If somebody else says, my daughter's cutting myself, and you know what? She's doing it. What do I do? Well, let me see. In my study of eschatology, we found out that, you know what? The fourth toe in the beast's foot in Daniel chapter 3. The lady says, you know what? I was abused as a child and I cannot forgive and I cannot stop being angry about it. What do I do? And the theologian and the average Christian who doesn't know the Bible but knows about God says, forgive. Well, how do you do that? Forgive and pray about it. See you later. Why? Because they don't know the Bible. Because they haven't labored with God. They haven't needed that knowledge. The Spirit of the Lord God is not upon them because they're not preaching the gospel and winning souls and making a difference and delivering captives and healing broken hearts. They are not doing those things. They aren't taking care of an orphan or helping the widow. Knowledge without application and intellectual knowledge is not going to do anything for anybody. Actually becomes a detriment. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge. We all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. What do you think God, verse 2, and if any man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Listen, we see that knowledge without love and without action just puffs you up. John chapter 8. What is truth supposed to do? Truth's supposed to make you know, and you can write books, and you can study, and you can think, and you can know all the fancy terms. No, the truth is not supposed to do that. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not make you intellectually knowledgeable. It sets you free. Knowledge puffs up. Truth and the Word of God combined with laboring in the harvest sets you and sets others free. It transforms. The truth transforms. While theologians are debating why Christians argue over different things like Calvinism and different things, their neighbors are lost. Their family is falling apart. Their relatives are continuing unsaved. You go and bring these deep, deep concepts that aren't practical things from the Word of God, and not just truth that helps and sets free and make a difference, and don't have answers for what the Word of God says, people don't get met and their needs met. Your PhD will not heal a broken heart. The average Christian just thinking he's an intellectual and knowing about God, and he's talked about religion many times and listened to many lectures on religion, will not deliver a soul. It will not feed an orphan. It will not clothe a poor person. It will not fix a broken heart. It will not change lives. The Word of God does. Laboring together with God and the Spirit of God. You will find as you labor with God, you suddenly need truth. I don't know about you, but I need truth from the Bible. Amen? I need what God says for my own life, for my family's life, and for those in our society's life. You want to know God? Beg God for the truth and go into the harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beg God for truth and go out into the harvest and say, God, give me something to feed somebody with. Give me some bread for my friend who's coming, and I will feed them with the bread of life. Give me the word. Give me truth so I can feed them. Give me something. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. Then shall sinners be converted unto thee. Psalm 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are laborers together with God. Wow. We are laborers together with God. I've got a bachelor's in pastoral theology. When I started serving God, about 17, I really got on fire, really started getting it and growing like crazy. Then my pastor kind of took me under his wing. I got into the ministry. I learned more, and I went to a great Bible college, but I learned more in about 2.5 years working with my pastor in the harvest, going to people's houses, helping people who are messed up, fixing problems, helping people financially, healing broken hearts, winning souls to Christ, trying to help families get restored. I learned more than I learned in Bible college. It would have been a waste of my time to continue on in Bible college. Bible college did not teach me the Bible. I read a Bible on my own, and the Holy Spirit taught me the Bible. I learned a few good things. And my Bible college, its emphasis was ministry. It was not Bible. It was teaching you how to go, and that's good. I know how to run a nursery. I know how to go and deal with different problems at church, and you know, just a bunch of ministry stuff, how to deal with the bus ministry, and somebody has problems, and how to do pastoral counseling, all stuff like that. Just practical things. But listen, I really got to know God in an alleyway, going up to a house where I knew the kids getting abused in the middle of Chicago. Say, God, what do I do? At another house where the kids, the dad was spending all the money on alcohol, selling their food stamps, and they were malnourished. Say, God, what are we going to do? We got to feed these kids. Every time we give money to the family, the dad takes it and drinks it away. I learned about God being with orphans in Haiti. I learned about God when yesterday, out doing God's work and out in the harvest, doing some soul winning and doing some visiting, and I knocked on a door. And all of a sudden, inside the door, I hear crying. I mean, howling crying. And somebody comes to the door. I mean, tears everywhere. And they cannot talk for 5 minutes. They are bawling out to God. I mean, crying out to God. And I said, what is going on? And after 5 minutes, they finally said, I was going to kill myself. And I said, God, if you love me, you've got to. I've called everybody. If you love me, you've got to send somebody to me. He said, I was going to slit my wrist in a few minutes. That was yesterday. Person's in treatment now, in a Christian treatment center. We got all settled. They're okay. That was God saying, go this way. Go over here. by the way, you have the right context where you can know what to do with this person, and you know what to do with a drug addict. I know what to do with drug addicts. Not because I studied soteriology. It's because I've been in the harvest working with God. I know what to do when someone's life is about to end, when they want to kill themselves. Why? Because I studied Calvinism? No. Because I walked out there in the harvest with what God loves and worked with him. And I'm still learning. Say, God, I need truth. What do I preach? What do I teach? What does the church need? God, I need your wisdom. I need to teach what your word says, Lord. I got to rightly divide. Give me your spirit and speak to my heart and give me your message and show me what they need. And I come with a desire to know the word of God so I can feed somebody. Not so I can say, look how smart I am. I really don't care if you think I'm smart. If you notice, when I preach, I use really common man's language. And I bring the truth way down low where everybody can get it. You know why? Because I want to help and labor with God for people. It is not, my preaching is not to impress you and to show off that I'm a good preacher. I know I'm not. My preaching is to change lives and win souls and rescue people and undo Satan's work because we love people. You want to know God, beg God for truth, and go into the harvest. You want to know God, yoke up with him. If you want to know God, don't sit here and read a bunch of books until you've read plenty of Bible. Lots of Bible. Meditate therein day and night. And don't be one of these Christians who's learned and learned and learned and learned and learned and hasn't done anything for God. You aren't going to know God. You'll know about God. If you don't do, help somebody and make a difference and clothe somebody and help somebody and pray for somebody and deliver somebody and win somebody and heal hearts. The theologian finally decided, you know what? I've been studying. I've got all this education. And you know what? I feel like I still really don't know God. God for him. I don't know God. And he finally said, oh God, I want to know you. I've studied and studied. Don't feel like I know you. Lord, I need to know you. And boom. An angel appeared and said, I'm here to help you know God. Oh, the theologian said, I can't believe it, an angel. What are we going to do? And he says, come on, we're going to go here. Walk down the street. And he goes into the yard. And he says, the theologian, here's what we're going to do. First of all, I want you to pick up the sticks in this yard. Okay, this is deep. He picks up a stick. Should I count them? Yeah, sure, count them. 2. Boy, I wonder what this symbolizes. 3, 4, 5, 6. What do I do with them? I'll go throw them in that dirty spot, that spot of dirt over there, okay? 6 sticks in a dirt spot. Boy, this is deep. What do I do now? How do I know God? Okay, now you pick up rocks. Can I count those 2? There must be some meeting. Yeah, pick up the rocks too. 1, 2, everyone in the whole yard? Yep, everyone. Ooh, we're clearing out the yard of rocks. What does that mean? 3, 4. And he gets them all. Where should I put them? Put them with the sticks. Ooh, the rocks in the sticks in a dirty spot. 13 rocks and how many sticks? 6 sticks. And he throws them there. This is going to get me to know God? Oh, yeah, this is you're going to get to know God. Now what do? Okay, there's a machine over there, and it's got a little button on the side. It's kind of a squishy button. Push that 6 times. 6 times? That's another 6. I wonder what that means. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now what do I do? Okay, there's a little handle there. Pull it really hard. Vroom! Oh, you forgot. Put the little lever off of the turtle, onto the bunny. Bunny, what is a bunny symbolized? You'll see. Okay, pull really hard. Vroom! Now, push that around this widow's lawn. Well, I mean, what is the 6 sticks? They just need it picked up so you didn't mow them. 13 rocks? They were in the way. They'd ruin their lawnmower. 6 bushes, starts a lawnmower, it's a choke. Well, how is this going to get me to know God? Because God's going to mow the lawn with you. Because the widow's lawn needs mowed. Well, that's not very deep. Oh, it's real deep. You're pushing with God around that lawn. And you're going to get to see what God cares about. And you're going to get the heart of God. And nobody knows you're mowing a lawn. And you're doing it because the Bible says you help the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And you're going to get to know God while you're pushing that. But this isn't very deep. Oh, it's very deep. You're getting to know God. You're laboring with God. But is there a book about this? Oh, there's a manual, but you don't need that. Just push around the lawnmower and mow the widow's lawn. How about you tonight? What has God given you? What kind of knowledge do you have that you haven't used that's just going to puff you up? It's not going to help. God has given you abilities and knowledge and everything else. Why? Most of Christianity has plenty of knowledge. They just haven't used what they've learned. They might have learned how to win a soul, but they never did it. They might have learned how to present the gospel. And they might know all the debates about work salvation, no work salvation, works after salvation. They might know all the debates, but how about you just go take, you'll get real good doctrine when you go use what you have. As a matter of fact, if you're faithful in that which is least with what God gives you, God will give you more. There's a lot of widows and orphans and people with broken hearts and broken lives and girls who are single moms and people who need healing and people who love money and went after money and now they found it didn't satisfy them and people who want Christ all over. There's everywhere. There's lots of work to do. How about we go and take his yoke upon us and learn of him and just get to know God by working with him? Get into his harvest and help needy people and love their broken hearts and do God's work. What knowledge has God given you that you haven't used? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it gives us the answers. It gives us how to help people. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would realize that what we need most is to get into your yoke. Study your word. Listen to your spirit. I pray tonight that we'd all get these blessings upon us because we're laborers together with God. Lord, may we not waste time on these things. May we be out there. Lord, there's so many broken hearts. There's so many broken lives. There's so many people who have questions. And Lord, we don't have the answers, but your word and your spirit do. May we walk in the Spirit. May we just beg you for opportunities to give some truth out. And may you give us the truth we need. May we take it in and give it out. Take it in and give out. Take in and give out. May we do that, Father, I pray. I pray each one of us would analyze ourselves and not just talk about theologians in ivory towers, but be students of the Word of God who take what you've given us and go into the harvest. Please, God, help us. Help us not to be wasting our time and wasting our knowledge. Help us to look to the right sources. Please, Lord, help us to do these things in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Christian, I just want to say, are you using what God's given?